these Beatitudes taught by Jesus here on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee are an introduction to what we have noted as his great Sermon on the Mount. He's not only addressing and teaching a multitude of people that were gathered with him on that mountain, but he's also teaching us today. He's telling us what citizens of his kingdom look like, the characteristics by which they are identified. This is where the Beatitudes come into play. It's not a list of things that we hope to achieve. These are characteristics that are given to those who have been genuinely born into the kingdom of God. And just going through the list together as we've uncovered these week by week, one by one, these characteristics are simply that these citizens of the kingdom, they see their spiritual poverty. They mourn over sin. They carry a disposition of meekness. And as we saw last Sunday evening, their deepest hunger is to grow in God's righteousness. And now he tells the crowd and us today in this fifth beatitude that citizens of his kingdom are merciful toward others. Merciful. Those that practice mercy. Perhaps our first introduction to mercy was finding ourselves as little kids in a headlock, contrived by an uncle or older sibling demanding for us to cry mercy in order to be let go. So we begin to develop this picture of mercy being a weakness, that those who are in need of it are weak, and perhaps more predominantly, those who give mercy are weak. But here we are again looking at a word, a concept that we don't fully understand. I think many of you appreciate my pop culture analogy, so I'll give you another one from the 1970s. As the songwriter said, and I'll let you figure it out, everybody's crying mercy when they don't know the meaning of the word. And here we are again looking at a word that I'm not so sure we understand fully the intentions and meaning of it. I want us to understand mercy. What being merciful means, what Christ's intentions here were when he said that his kingdom are made up of citizens who live mercifully. Write down number one there in your notes. You'll find this on the screen. First of all, mercy is not characteristic of those who are proud, self-righteous, and judgmental. Mercy is not characteristic of those who are proud, self-righteous, and judgmental. Think again of the crowd that Jesus is speaking to. As we've noticed in our study, that this crowd was made up of the four major groups of Jewish religionists. There were among them the Pharisees, also the Sadducees. There was also two other lesser known groups, the Zealots and the Essenes, all of which were dominated by pride and self-righteousness. And as a result, their attitude as well as their actions were not characterized in any form or fashion as merciful. In fact, to many of Jesus' hearers that day, showing mercy was considered weak, especially to men. A merciful person in their estimation was one who lacked courage to lead. He lacked boldness. And anyone who would give mercy to others is certainly weak in their makeup. But let's be honest. That type of thinking is not too far removed from where many of us have positioned ourselves today. Often as we lead our families, particularly our children or oversee others in the workplace, we too are tempted to think that if I show mercy, then I'll expose weakness. And in showing mercy and exposing weakness, then my subordinates will know how to exploit those weaknesses. So in pride, we don't want to come across as a bad leader, and we go to the extreme of being less merciful in order to position our own authority. And so we don't think much differently than those major religionists of Jesus' day. I think this is also true in spiritual thinking. The Pharisaical mind that has centered its entire spirituality around the keeping of rules or external conformity, they are not merciful to those who break those rules and do not conform to their preferential standard. This is one of the major problems with legalism. Because a legalistic mindset is never content with just quietly giving something up that they believe grows their relationship with God. No, they go much, much further than that. It's not enough for them to quietly give it up. No, they are intent on unmercifully shaming others until they give that same thing up also. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that mercy is not characteristic of those who are proud, self-righteous, judgmental. And whether that's in our actions as we carry them out in the workplace or in our homes as we don't want to expose weaknesses to our children or in our brand of Christianity that suggests everybody should look the same way that I look and dress the same way that I dress and carry themselves the same way that I carry myself. And if you do not, then you're certainly far from being who God wants you to be. And so in pride, in self-righteousness, and judgmentalism, we're not very merciful with others at all. Now think about it like this. Most view mercy on the same level of love, virtues that are reserved only for those who have shown that same virtue to them. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, I'm not going to love unconditionally, I'm going to love conditionally. I'm not going to give mercy unconditionally. I'm going to give mercy conditionally. In other words, I will choose to love those who love me. I'm not going to love those who don't love me. Only those who love me will get my love in return. And I will only show mercy to those who show mercy to me. But this is pride. It's shallow. It's selfish. And furthermore, according to Christ, it is no reflection to what he said his kingdom will indeed reflect. That the citizens of my kingdom will be merciful, not contingent on the mercy that is shown to them, but they will be merciful, period. So we got to understand first and foremost the diagnosis for why we would not extend mercy to others. It is pride, it is self-righteousness, it is judgmentalism. So mercy is given to one group of people, the humble, the pure in heart, and the dependent upon the Lord. And so we come to the second point that I want you to find there in your notes is not only those who do not possess mercy, but what mercy actually is. Write down secondly, mercy is compassion in action. So if we're talking about this mercy that people possess, then what is it? Mercy is compassion in action. Blessed are the merciful. Merciful. Now, let me say this, as in all things, especially as we've gone through this list of Beatitudes, Christ is our supreme example in mercy. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 says that Christ is a merciful and faithful high priest. So he sets the example for us, and his example is what shows us exactly what mercy is. Now, mercy and love are frequently interchangeable in Scripture. In fact, many of the contexts in which you see the word in the original Greek, you'll find it used in either condition. Sometimes it's translated love, sometimes it's translated mercy. There's a reason for that. Because mercy is defined as charitable. Going back to the point, what is mercy? Mercy is compassion in action. It is being charitable. So that's very closely akin to the word love and often interchangeable in the New Testament. So it's not just a feeling of charity. No, mercy is an intentional act that is charitable. Charitable. It's action. Compassion in action. It is providing yourself as a means of help to those who are helpless. Maybe the most basic summary of this I could give you is that mercy is simply meeting people's needs. That's what mercy is. It is meeting people's needs. It's not just a feeling. It is action. And as it is with all of Christ's teaching, he's not suggesting here a type of sentimentality that arises only as an act of easing a guilty conscience. Or a disingenuous facade that is good at parading a false virtue. That's not what he's saying here. That we're to walk around acting mercifully. Putting on as if we are merciful people. No, this is genuinely from the heart a person whose life is sensitive to the needs of others and acts on that sensitivity in tangible ways. In tangible ways. It's not just saying, I love you. It's showing that I love you. That's mercy. It's not just feeling sympathy. We understand what sympathy is. It's I feel sorry for them and leaving it to that. No, no. Mercy goes much further than being sympathetic. It's not I feel sorry for you. No, mercy is I want to help you. And there's a great difference in feeling sorry for someone who is in need of help and then actually rolling up your sleeves and helping the one who is helpless. And I think what Jesus is saying here is that in my kingdom, my people are not takers, they are givers. Not takers, givers. Now that's an important message. Because as we will see many times covered over and over in Jesus' teaching, is that the majority of the people were there just to take from the Lord. What's in it for me? What meal can he provide? What healing can he perform? I want to go to where he is because he's going to make my life better. But Jesus says you got it all backwards. That those who belong to the kingdom, those who are true followers of God, real Christians, they are not takers, they are givers. They are merciful. Compassion in action. I think we understand the most basic quality of mercy is giving. Giving. When you think of mercy, it's giving. Giving. I jotted down several things when I think about mercy here. Giving compassion is merciful. Think about it in terms of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Rich in mercy is one who gives compassion. Giving time, giving help to others. This is what the Good Samaritan did. Do you remember the story in Luke chapter 10 when the Good Samaritan came along the way and he bound up the wounds of the man who had been beaten and robbed and left to die? He got off of his donkey and ran to his side and began to bound up his wound and clean his with fresh bandages, and not only that, he took him to the nearest inn. He paid for him to stay there, all of his expenses. He met this man's need. This took time. It was helpful. And what did Jesus say of the Good Samaritan? That he did this because he had mercy on him. He had mercy on him. Compassion in action. Mercy is giving. It is giving compassion. It is giving our time. It is giving our help. It's giving forgiveness. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. You are plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I love this verse because it reminds me of just how good the Lord is to us even in the midst of our great failures. We sing a song in our worship here. We've been singing it the last probably year or so. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. My sins are many. His mercy is more. This is the verse that supports such worship in which we sing together corporately as a church. God is good. He is ready to forgive. He is plenteous in mercy. But mercy stands ready to forgive. And so when Jesus stands up and he addresses the crowd and he speaks to us today and he says, happy are those who stand ready to forgive with plenty of mercy. For they are the ones who truly belong to my kingdom. Perhaps we've always thought that blessed are the merciful to being just that of forgiveness. But it's much more than just forgiveness. It's compassion, it's time, it's help, it is forgiveness. And those who are a part of God's kingdom will stand ready to give forgiveness with plenty of mercy. I wrote down, giving of ourselves. We're talking about what mercy is, what it looks like. How are we merciful when we give compassion, when we give time, when we give help, when we give money, when we give forgiveness, when we give ourselves. Galatians 1:4, and speaking of the example of God who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. Here's the point. What is true of God's mercy is to be true of our mercy. What did Paul write in this scripture of Galatians 1:4 when he says God gave himself for us? He's talking about the mercy by which God sacrificed, the mercy by which he showed his selflessness, the mercy by which he gave everything in order to help others. That's what mercy is. Mercy makes sacrifices. Mercy is selfless. Mercy gives up what we cannot keep to gain that which we cannot lose. It's compassion in action. So we have to stop deceiving ourselves into thinking that sympathy alone is actually showing mercy. No. It's helping. It's giving. It's action. But it's not just action, it's also compassion in our attitudes. In other words, mercy doesn't hold grudges. Mercy doesn't harbor resentment. Mercy doesn't leverage another's weaknesses and failures in order to position themselves. And we show this merciful attitude as we pray, as we have meekness, as we express deep concern for the well-being of others and reflection of the Spirit of Christ. We have to look deeply at what Christ is saying. Blessed, happy are those who live a merciful life, those who have compassion in action. Write down number three as we think about this term mercy and what it means. Not only are we reminded that mercy is not a characteristic of those who are proud and self-righteous and judgmental, mercy is compassion in action. Thirdly, mercy is a desperately needed gift. Mercy is a desperately needed gift. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time here, but it need not be overlooked. We, as God's people, are to live a merciful life toward others because mercy is desperately needed in our own lives. And I think that's the thing that often gets us in trouble. is that when we refuse to act mercifully, it is because we have forgotten just how much mercy we need in return. D.A. Carson, one author and theologian that I love to go hear speak and read after. I'm reading a book by him right now that he said this week in relation to this exact thought. The one who is not merciful is inevitably so unaware of his own state that he thinks he needs no mercy. It's a great statement. You got to think about it. The one who is not merciful is inevitably so unaware of his own state that he thinks he needs no mercy. And it's true. What he's saying is we don't act mercifully because we believe we don't need mercy. But one of the foundations for which Jesus said we are to live a merciful life is because we stand in need of daily mercy ourselves. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God," that's us, "the chosen in Christ, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy." Bowels of mercy. You who are elect, you who are chosen, you who are a part of the kingdom of God, the holy and loved of God, put on bowels of mercy. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It is absolutely wicked for us to be eager to receive forgiveness from God while simultaneously refusing to give mercy to others. That, friend, is pure wickedness. And God says, those of you who claim to be my followers, you act in mercy to others the same way Christ has acted in mercy to you. Because we need his mercy. We desperately need his mercy. Without his mercy, there is no hope for us. And frankly, it's not the character of God's kingdom. Blessed are the merciful. Now, I want you to write down number four as we kind of bring this all to close. The fourth statement is this. Let's recap. Mercy is not characteristic of the proud, the self-righteous, and the judgmental. Mercy is compassion in action. It is a desperately needed gift. Fourthly, God gives us more mercy. God gives us more mercy than we've already received when we live mercifully toward others. God gives us more mercy than we've already received when we live mercifully toward others. This is the meaning of the promise stated with the fifth beatitude. Look at the beatitude again. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who have compassion in action. They don't just feel sympathetic, but they act out in help in giving of themselves to others. Blessed are the merciful for what? They shall obtain mercy. Now, some have suggested, and perhaps you've thought through the years, that this teaches that mercy toward others is what brings mercy from others. I mean, on the surface, perhaps that's the way we think it reads. Look at it again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, when I'm merciful toward others, they will show mercy to me. But here's what I want you to understand about God, okay? If we are merciful to others, God will be merciful to us whether men are or not. That's the beatitude. God is the subject of the clause. It is not blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy from others. No, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy from God. So when we live mercifully toward others, expecting nothing in return, God says, I will be merciful to you whether they give you any mercy back. You ever been in a position where perhaps tension in a relationship, something perhaps has occurred and the Lord deals with your heart through his word about extending that mercy, but it seems like the receiving party has no desire to even hear it out. It's a difficult place to be when God is leading you to a place of pure peace in your own heart to give mercy and the supposed recipient wants nothing of it. It's hard. How do you forgive the person who don't want to be forgiven, don't even want to talk to you? This is where the beatitude comes into play. That when we are merciful, no matter how people respond to our mercy, God promises an abundant life of mercy for us from him. So we rest not in how we are received in our mercy, whether somebody writes us a thank you note, picks us up the phone and says, you know, I really appreciate you doing this. Granted, there are times in our lives when we do for others and we get nothing in return. And it's frustrating. How could they receive so much from me and not even say, I appreciate it, you know? But when our motives are truly to live out Christ and his kingdom, our only focus is the glory of God. That I'm going to do mercifully to others as God allows me to be merciful. And whether I hear from them or not, I have the promise that God is going to take care of me. I'm going to obtain mercy. Perhaps not from them, but certainly from God. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought citizens of his kingdom have already received his mercy. It's true. Citizens of his kingdom have received his mercy of salvation, but we've not received that by being merciful. In other words, God didn't say you got to do these things in order to get my salvation, get my forgiveness of sins. You got to be merciful to others in order to earn my mercy in return. Now, let me state it to you as the hymn writer did. Mercy there was great, and grace was free at Calvary. So the mercy that God gives me within the realm of salvation is not something that I have to in return. Oh, I have to be merciful in order for God to save me. No, God's saving mercy is free, and it's free as a result of his ultimate gift through Jesus Christ. But because we have received his saving mercy, now we live a life of mercy toward others. And as a result, God gives us more mercy beyond what we already have. Well, what kind of mercy are you talking about? I'm talking about mercy in meeting our needs. Is there anybody in here this morning, God met a need in your life this week? That was mercy. That was more mercy than you've had to this point. Mercy in meeting our needs, mercy in withholding judgment. Anybody in here this morning deserve God's judgment on your life this week? Well, absolutely, all of us. But with every mistake, his mercy. With every sin, his mercy. With every failure, his mercy withholds the judgment that we deserve. I'm talking about the mercy of his ongoing forgiveness, the mercy of his daily blessings. We could go on and on and on. I think the point is understood clearly. I have received mercy from God in Jesus Christ. And as I live mercifully toward others, God will give me more and more and more mercy from his merciful hand. That's why it is absolutely 100% accurate to say we serve a merciful God. But the contingency is clear that the more and more and more mercy we desire to receive is based on the way that we live mercifully toward others. And we cannot forget what these are, these pronouncements. They're beatitudes. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy. And here we are at those who live mercifully. Happy are the merciful. Happy are those who give. Happy are those who help others. Happy are those who move from just being sympathetic to actually helping people where they are. Jesus said, you want to know what my kingdom looks like? It is filled with people who are merciful to others. Now, before we pray, let's answer some hard questions. Do some self-evaluation in your own heart. Am I a merciful person or a condescending person? Am I gentle with others? Or am I hard-nosed with others? We're talking about mercy. Am I helpful toward the hurting or am I calloused? How many times have you seen someone genuinely hurting and you thought to yourself, I wonder if that's legit? Like me, perhaps, you've grown a little calloused toward the true needs of others. Am I compassionate? Or do I find myself often impatient? I think these answers go a long way in determining our happiness. For Jesus said, if you want to be happy, be merciful. Be gentle. Be helpful. Be patient. And you will obtain more mercy than you ever thought you could receive. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.